Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our pre-Tehillim Shira at the Shulch at home, followed by Tehillim. If with your permission, it was my grandfather's Yurtzai today, 17th Iyar, 32nd day of Omer is my grandfather's Yurtzai. Simcha Aryeh ben Yosef Tzvi, Alav Hashem, Nesham Shir Abadali, and the merit of these words of Torah.
Amen.
So a few thoughts. It's Lag BaOmer tonight, and we're journeying through this time period of Sfiras HaOmer, and it is during this time period that we recall Rabbi Akiva. So much has spoken about Rabbi Akiva and the 24,000 Talmidim, and the death of the students tonight is the Yurtzeit of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and before he passed on to his eternal rest, he transmitted the secrets of Torah, Kabbalah, and the Zohar to his Talmidim, and therefore it was a great day of celebration of Torah. So that is connect a little bit, teaching from Rabbi Akiva with a teaching from Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Both of these huge, towering Torah personalities are associated with this time period of the year. So let's begin with the famous Gemara Masechta Sivama, Samech Beis, which you've all heard many, many times, which there are many interpretations of this Gemara. So Rabbi Akiva says, if you learn Torah in your youth, you should learn Torah in your old age. If you had Talmidim in your youth, you should have Talmidim in your old age. And then they say, but Rabbi Akiva, he had 12,000 pairs of students. You all know this, and I'm sure you've heard different interpretations. Shneim Asar Al Zugim Talmidim Hayulah. The Rabbi Akiva, he had 12,000 pairs of students. Megivas and Antiparis, they stretched from one area of Eretz Yisrael, Gevas, to Antiparis, another area of Eretz Yisrael. Kula Meisu B'Parak Echad. We're going back to the time of Bayesheni, which is where Rabbi Akiva lived, by Churban Bayesheni, and they all died during one period. And then here come the very famous last words, Mipnei Shalom Nahagu Kavod Zeb Lazeb. They didn't have kavod for one another. How do we interpret this? A lot of questions on what this Gemara means. V'haya ha'olam shameim, the world was desolate. What did Rabbi Akiva do? He went down to the south and he started all over again, which is a whole shir in and of itself, with five new Talmidim. And then the Gemara says that they all died from Pesach to Atzeres. This is how Rabbi Akiva, the death of his Talmidim, had become associated with this time period of Sfiras HaOmer. This is precious Emar. Svartam lachem imechas haShabbos. The mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, actually in the Torah, has nothing to do with Rabbi Akiva, or with Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, or with Lag BaOmer. It has to do with the bringing of the Korban Omer the day after Pesach, except that the Gemara says from Pesach to Atzeres, which is what we call Shavuos, 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva died. Hence, during this period, we commemorate the deaths of these Talmidim and we mourn. They all died from Askara, which is translated as diphtheria, some sort of inflammation of the throat or the vocal tract. Power of speech was taken away from them. Very bad death. What does it mean for purposes of tonight's thoughts that they did not accord honor to one another? Keeping in time the time frame that we have here, this is going to be less than al regal achas, but nevertheless, even in a short amount of time, we can derive some lessons. What does it possibly mean? So I'm going to give you three approaches. I just heard the other day, Monday evening, I listened to a shiur on OUTorah.org by Rabbi Shalom Gold. Did anybody hear this shiur? Rabbi Shalom Gold. So he has, it's an era 50-minute shiur. You could listen to his whole theory and how he arrives there. But he says that they did not have honor for one another. What is it possible that 24,000 Talmidim of the Haftalah Recha Kamocha Rabbi Zakal Gabadol Batorah didn't have cover for one another? All 24,000. Furthermore, he says, is the punishment for not having honor for another person the death penalty? Is it possible? He proves through various sources, you could go into OU Torah if you're interested, that they went out to battle against the Romans. They were fighting against the enemy and they fell in battle. This is one pshat proposed by Rabbi Shalom Gold. So in other words, and he was a Yom HaZikaron shir, he actually compared it to the 23 Rachmana Litzlan plus soldiers from 1860, those who have fallen from 1860 to today, who have fallen in defense of Medina Yisrael, that these students actually went out in battle and they fell in battle. Another pshat, which is given by Rav Herschel Schechter, which I confirmed with Rav Shai Schechter and the Rosh Hashiva. Rav Herschel Schechter says, teaches in the name of certain Gedolim, I don't know who they are, but Rav Herschel Schechter is enough of a source for us, of course, and that is that the Talmidim died in Shas Hashmad. It was a time of religious persecution, it was the time of the Romans, it was a punishment, it was punishable by death to learn Torah, certainly, we know that, we're not so far removed from societies and times when people have been killed for learning Torah, and therefore they were actually killed by the Romans, different than Rav Shalom Gold. Rav Gold says they went out to battle and they fell in battle. Rav Herschel Schechter says, what? They were killed by the Romans for learning Torah, for being Jews, for being B'nai Torah. Third pshat is Pashup Pshat. Pashup Pshat is Mipnei Shelo Nahagu Kavod Zeh V'Zeh. The simple reading in the Lashon of the sages is that they didn't have kavod for one another on some level. And tonight's shiur is really going to focus. Each of those approaches is its own shiur, but I just want to talk about Mipnei Shelo Nahagu Kavod Zeh V'Zeh. So many questions come up. How could the students do this? How could they really not have honor? Didn't their master teach? V'ahavtarecha kamocha zeka gado v'torah last six parasha kadoshim. How is it possible? Instead of asking how is it possible, which is what we spend so much time asking about these students, maybe we should say, what could we learn from this? We spend too much time saying, how could the students not have honor for one another? Instead of saying, why don't I have sufficient honor for my fellow Jew? Pashup Pshat, the Lashon of the Gemara, is put a certain way to teach me a lesson. The simple reading of the text is, they lacked some measure of honor. You could be a Ben Torah, and if you lack honor for another person, there is a very serious, fundamental, religious, spiritual, moral failing within you as a human being. So instead of saying, how could it be? Maybe I should say, why am I lacking? What can I learn from the fact that they were lacking? Do I really treat other people with the kavod that they deserve all the time? Everyone, ask yourself that question. Don't answer aloud. Think of that question. Think of yourself. Think of myself. Do I really treat every other Jew with the kavod that they deserve all the time? I'll tell you that the answer is no. For myself. So instead of worrying so much about how could the students do this, maybe I should worry about Micha Haaretz. Because if the Lashon of the Gemara is in a certain way, so the Chazal want me to learn a certain lesson. I want to connect this I mentioned in the second half of the shiur. Haha, get it? Usually I would say that after half an hour. After 5 minutes, I want to connect that in the second half of the shiur to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who is also associated with the time period of Sfiras Omer. Why? Because when is his Yahrzeit? Tonight, into tomorrow, this is the day Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai died. I want to connect this idea that Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim should come to teach us, never mind about them, about me, about having honor for a fellow Jew in all situations without being judgmental. Okay? My husband told me a beautiful vart that he heard in the name of Rav Herschel Schachter Shlita, and he heard Rav Herschel Schachter say, when Chazal say, hey, Veidanis ka Adam Lakav Schus, you should judge every man for the benefit of the doubt. Rav Schachter said, that is Bidi Avet. Lechatchila, you shouldn't be judging anyone ever, anyways, at all. So the Gemara tells us in Masechta Shabbos, Lamed Gimel, Amud Beis, about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And the Gemara says that there was a death sentence on Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, on this Amud of Gemara, because he was learning Torah. So they went and they hid in a cave. They went and they hid in a cave. Every day his wife would bring him food and a small pitcher of water. He and his son hid in a cave. This is what the Gemara says. And every day the wife/mother would bring food and water. And one day Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said to his son, you know, the minds of women, da'atan kala aleihen, their minds are light. Their minds are easily swayed. Maybe the Romans will capture them, torture them, and she'll reveal our hiding place. So they went and they hid from his wife. And now nobody knew where they were, and they hid for 12 years in a cave. A miracle was done for them. Charuva, a carob in a spring of water grew next to the cave. So it's not like some hearsay, it's not like some fairy tale. It's right here in the Gemara, and this sustained them for 12 years. They would stay in the sand every day, their whole body in the sand. When it came time to pray, I'm telling you what the Gemara says, they would come out, they would put on their clothing, and when they finished davening, they would go back into the sand to protect their clothing, so their clothing should not be ruined. After 12 years, Eliyahu HaNavi came. He stood at the entrance to the cave, and he said, the Caesar has died. The decree is annulled. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and his son understood they could now come out of the cave. So they came out of the cave, and what do they see? Dika karive viza chazu inshe. They see people. Dika karve vizare. They're plowing and sowing. They just spent 12 years learning Torah. So they're totally immersed in a spiritual lifestyle. These people are farmers. They became very angry. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, "Manichin chaya olam va'oskim b'chayu sha'a." They're putting aside life in the eternal world to be involved with life in this finite world. What's more important, Torah or your crops? What's more important, a geshmak zvar Torah or your wheat? What's more important, going to daf yomi or, I don't know, fertilizing the field? They became very angry. How could you leave eternal world to be osake in this world? So what did they do? You know, everywhere they looked, Kol Malkom Shenosnim Einehim, everywhere that they looked, Miyad Nisraf. They started to burn people up, and they started to burn this. How could you be farming when you could be at a shir? How could you be working in the business field when you could be learning Torah? How could you be doing such gashmias, base things, when you could be in the next world? Yatzasa Baskol Ve'amalahem, a heavenly voice came out and proclaimed, Lahachriv Olami Yatzasem, you came out of the cave to destroy my world. What was the decree? What did the Baskol say?
To go back.
Chizru l'ma'araseichem. Return to your cave. And they went back for another 12 months, and they had to go back for another year. Okay. What does the Gemara coming to teach us? Hani Machlis, Rabbitin Hani Machlis, Allah Elisham, quotes, she says, her favorite Torah thought from Rabbi Zevlef. Rabbi Zevlef asks an amazing question, says Henny. This is one of my favorite Torah thoughts from him, says Henny. If Rabbi Shimon was too exalted and he couldn't relate to the mundane world, his punishment should have been, you're too intense. Go to the beach. Visit Florida. Put your feet up on a beach chair. He was told, what should you do? Go back to the cave and learn more Torah? You understand the question? You're so intense, so you should go to the spa, go out to lunch, learn how to be in this world, go back to the cave. So Rabbi Lef answers. Ready? Remember, we're relating two personalities, two giants in Torah who held up the world with their Torah to this time period of Sfiras HaOmer. Rabbi Akiva, on the one hand, even though he says, Vafla Recha Kamelcha, forget judging, I'm wondering about them, what about myself? Now we're trying to relate the same Torah idea to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Here we go. Rabbi Zev Lef says, why do they have to go back to the cave? Because if people criticize other people, it's not because they learned too much Torah. It's because they didn't learn enough Torah. They didn't learn enough Torah to understand everyone has their own way of how to serve Hashem on their own level. So the consequence of coming out and misunderstanding how someone could be a farmer is dafka. Don't go to Florida and kick up your feet. Go learn more Torah. Till you plumb the depths of Torah, till you come to the Zeh Klal Gadol Torah. Maybe in that year you'll come across V'ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha and Parshas Kedoshim. And maybe you'll remember that Rabbi Akiva teaches Zeh Klal Gadol Torah. So if a person, says Rabbi Zev Lef, does not relate to people, criticizes people, judges people in this mundane world, it means not they learned too much Torah, they didn't learn enough Torah. So we can put these two Torah personalities together, giants in Torah. And instead of Chalila criticizing them or their students, rather to do a self-introspection for myself. From the first piece of Gemara, Yavamos, I should look in the mirror at the end of every day. It's embarrassing. It's a hard question. I should look in the mirror and say, Micha Harz, did you treat every person you met with the kavod that they deserve? It's a very hard question to ask yourself if you're intellectually honest. And then you should remember that the same idea is brought down by Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Go back to the cave, you're not ready for my world. Because, hey, Vedanus Kol Adam Lekav Zchus, says Rabbi Hershel Schechter, is not in the best case scenario. It's in the worst case scenario. In the best case scenario, we should not judge anybody ever. So perhaps a tremendous idea that we can derive in the time left, Tol Shavuos, where, yesterday was day 32, is that in the time that we have left to try and strive to improve our Bein Adam Lechaver, to be misaking for these lackings in respect to our fellow Jew. Okay? So Hashem should help us.
Thank you.
Thank you.